Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We were reading the book of Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1 to 5. That's our first reading. Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1 to 5. New King James Version. All right, thank you. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knee. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. The verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. Hallelujah. And that is the title of today's message. A river that could not be crossed. Our second reading is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 15. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 15. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So the chariot of fire and the horsemen didn't take him. It was a whirlwind that took him, but they came to separate the two of them. That is a very spiritual revelation in this concept, but that's no bearing to what we are doing today. So I'll let it be. Why a chariot of fire and horsemen separated them before Elijah was taken? Horsemen and chariot of fire. Very important figure. But let's move on. And Elisha saw it. That is a key word. You know what? He saw it. Well, because the condition for which the double portion will come upon him is what? Seeing, observant. So he saw it. And he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of what? Israel." So that chariot of Israel was talking up. Okay. And its horsemen. Do you now get it? What came to separate them? That was the spiritual throne of Elijah. You see, the Bible says, "Are they not ministering angels that are assigned unto what? They that are what? Heirs of what?" No, those days salvation has not come, but Elijah, you see, the reason why Elijah appeared to Jesus was because of the realm of operation of that man. The company of angelic force that was around Elijah was horsemen and what? Chariots of fire. You'll find out that the ministry of Elisha also continued with this same identity, because it was Elijah's anointing that came upon Elisha to continue in his mandate. Are you with me? But it has no bearing to what we are doing today. So let's move on. But I just want you to know why it separated them. Let's move on. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. This is Elisha's clothes, not Elijah. Then also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Let's continue. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. The emphasis on the verse 15. Let's go there. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Hallelujah. Last reading, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. We are all going to take it together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." One more time, let's go. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." It pleases the Lord, as always, to share with you as we still continue on the mandate of "Art Thou Anointed." Hallelujah. And today's message is to wrap up the whole journey on the levels of the anointing, which we have titled, or which is titled, "Another Measure, Another 1,000. And today comes to the last level of the anointing. We will look at the part one today, because as you have indulged me, as I said last time, there is no need to rush through this very powerful concept. So we're going to take our time to establish it precept upon what? Precept. Now, this whole teaching about anointing, it's my prayer, and I believe that by the time we have gone through the whole, at least some level of foundational knowledge and certain revelation about the concept of anointing, your life will not be as if somebody who's not anointed. I mean that your life will not be as somebody who has no knowledge of the presence and the power of God in your life. That is all. The whole objective of this journey from January to when God would, the ark will land, I can't tell. We are just moving. There are a lot to do. As I said, we have not even looked at the purpose of the anointing. We have not even looked at the stewarding anointing. We have not even looked at the streams of the anointing. These are broad subtopics. Then we come to corporate anointing. How many have I mentioned right now? Four. Is that not it? And yes. So we are looking at almost six sub-series that we are going to deal with. Purpose of the anointing, streams of the anointing, corporate anointing. What else did I mention? Stewarding the anointing. These four additional sub-series are on the way. But at the end of the day, even if we have not even, if we didn't even complete the whole concept, wherever we get to, you should be able to acknowledge and harness the presence and the power of God in your life. Because if you are in this world and you don't have power, you are the most pity person I can ever talk about. You see, when people have power, you can see the extent to which they can do things. You just put yourself in you having financial power. You see, you don't know power. You hear me talk a little about financial power. It is very common to all of us. Financial power. Do you know financial power? Yes. We call it the purchasing power in economics. Your ability to what? Buy. Is that not it? There are certain things whilst you're on your way to church today you saw that interested you, that you took interest in it, but you couldn't dare go close to them because you don't have the purchasing power. It's a pity that this thing could be a great need of your life. It's a sad thing that this thing could be a great need of your life, but because you don't have the power to take hold of it, you didn't even bother to take a look at it.
So have many Christians been disadvantaged in life because they don't have what it takes to harness the power of God to accomplish certain tasks in their life. Let me tell you, this world is not as what you think it is. People will tell that, oh, the world is A plus B. No, this world is very spiritual. If anybody tells you that the world is just as you see it, it's a deception. In fact, that is the biggest lie the devil can tell you. The world is spiritual. If it's not spiritual, and you don't believe that people can achieve things by spiritual means, why do you know Sikedru? Why is it that when somebody reaches a certain level of financial breakthrough, you said, no, this cannot be natural? If everything is not natural, why do you suspect Elon Musk? Let's be realistic. As you sit here, do you really believe, most of you believe that Elon Musk is not a rational, logical being like we? Do you believe that he could be an alien or has some kind of power that we don't have? Don't you? Yeah, to some point, I start asking myself, oh, this man, Elon, what at all has he come into contact with that? You are able to build a spaceship that travels to space and come back like an airplane. And you want us to see as a natural first man to come out with electrical cars. And now he came with what we call this kind of cyber truck and all kinds of the things he's coming out with. Like, and now he said, very soon you'll be living on Mars. Don't you suspect him? Are you not suspecting him? So you believe that this world is not just as it is. There are certain expressions and dimensions that are spiritual. When you sleep, you dream, don't you? If the world is not spiritual, how do you dream? You are here and you are in US. What are you doing over there? How did you get there? If it's not spiritual, you are sleeping in Ghana. What has it got to do with your village? You are in Accra. What are you doing in your village? If it's not spiritual, what is your grandmother doing in your dream? Our grandmother who died last time, coming to serve you. And you wake up and then you see certain things. It's spiritual. And when we talk about spiritual, then it means that power cannot be, it cannot be something you should negotiate on. It's something that we should crave for. Hallelujah. And anytime we crave for power and we want to see the manifestations of the power of God, then we are talking about anointing. Because the anointing, by definition, is when there is a manifestation of the presence and the power of God in reality that no one can deny it. So the power of God can be upon your life, but we want to see what? Manifestation. Hallelujah. So follow me very well. It will be a very disappointment to me that after this whole journey, you live your life as somebody who is not anointed. It will be a disappointment. Hallelujah. So I want you to pay attention. Hallelujah. Last week, we wrapped up with the waist deep experience. And we were talking about specific what? Anointing. As we are coming to the close of the levels of the anointing, I want us to start with our theme scripture. If you remember very well, I told you that in dealing with the levels of the anointing, the only scripture that gives us a proper illustration of the levels of the anointing is Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 5. Is that not it? So this scripture has been our theme scripture. And if you find out all the teachings I've done so far, there have been many references back to this scripture. In fact, even the divisions of the level has been references to what? This scripture. Because give us the revelation of the levels of the anointing. How the anointing manifests in our lives as we grow along. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go back to Ezekiel chapter 47 today and establish something from that point to lead us to the conclusion of the levels of the anointing. And the first thing I want us to look at is the opening keywords that start the whole book of Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 all the way to verse 5. There are three keywords I want us to take note of. Ezekiel chapter 47. Can we go back there, please? Ezekiel 47. The opening sentence of the whole encounter of Ezekiel in 47, chapter 47, started with two key things. Number one, a temple and water. Can you see it over there? I want you to take note of that. Now, when you read through the whole encounter of Ezekiel, there are other things that I mentioned, talking about the four cardinal points of the earth. Is that not it? I'll come back to that. So the four cardinal points of the earth, the east, south, west, open gates, and all those things were mentioned. But they don't still have relevance to what I want to teach, so let me jump them. All the way through, you see that the water was mentioned until verse 5. Another key word was introduced as what? River. River. Verse 5. And I could not cross, for the water was too deep, which is one must sort swim. There what? A river. So a what? Something that started as a water ended as a what? A river. This is also another key. So you see that these three key things, temple, water, and river, is communicating something that is relevant for what we want to do today. Hallelujah. So now let me start with the temple. So these three things, they represent or they stand for certain symbolic idea or concept about the anointing that I want to talk about. So now let's start with the temple. What is the representation of the temple in regard to what we are doing? What Ezekiel saw in the verse 1 was the temple of God, which symbolizes God's dwelling place or where God's presence is centered. So when God took Ezekiel, it is an encounter he had. When Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit and he was brought to the temple of God, the temple was a representation of God's temple. There are all kinds of temple. Do you know that? We have the temple of idols. Do you understand? We have the temple of idols. We have temples for demons. Temples for demons when people become a means by which demon activity can be executed through. But what Ezekiel saw was the temple of what? Of God. Hallelujah. Now, this temple of God's dwelling was on earth. Another thing. Now, you know that God lives in heaven. We all know that. We all believe that God lives in heaven. Is that not it? But the encounter that Ezekiel saw, you find out that the description of the temple was on earth, because you saw that the water was what affecting its surrounding. If you read the verse 6 downwards to 7, you find out that it was affecting its surrounding, and the surroundings was what? The earth. So what Ezekiel was, the encounter that Ezekiel had, that dwelling of God was a dwelling of God on earth. So Ezekiel had an encounter of God where his presence and his dwelling was established on earth. And that place was called what? A temple. Follow me very well. But we know very well that God's dwelling is what? Is heaven. The Bible said, for heaven is of the Lord, but the earth he has given unto what? The sons of man. So the moment Ezekiel saw God rather dwelling on earth in a temple, a place, that is giving us an idea of an environment that is able to what? Hold God or have a place for God on this earth. Hallelujah. Now let's move on. Now, what does temple stand for? In the Old Testament, temples or dwellings of God were represented by physical buildings or physical structures. Now, if you look into the studies of scripture all the way from Abraham, even let me go back to Noah. If you want to host God, you must have a physical structure upon which God can come and what? Land. In the lives of Noah, you find out that Noah was exposed to the principle of what? Altar. Now, if you check this very reading we did in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, you find out that an altar was mentioned over there, because there cannot be a dwelling place of God. Altars are like airports. Do you know an airport? Where flights come to land. Well, anybody to have access to this country from a different country, through air, the person has to have a point of what? Contact. Called altar. We'll land on an altar, which is the airport. So there cannot be a place of dwelling which is a temple without. So you see that there was a physical altar in this what temple you're talking about, or there's an altar over there. So in the Old Testament, the altar became the first point of contact to host God. Then we move from altar to the tabernacle. Do you remember the tabernacle of Moses, to the tabernacle of David? And then the temple was what? Built by who? Solomon. From there, temples become irregular buildings that the ark of God or the tabernacle of God was established in. Are you following me? So this temple that Ezekiel saw, that host that was on earth here, was talking in the Old Testament. It could have stand for what? A physical structure, being it a tabernacle or what? A physical building. However, in the New Testament, whenever we talk about temple, it has nothing to do with physical what? Structure. And this thing we are looking at has nothing to do with a physical what? Structure. It is what? A different structure. What structure do we look at? When we talk about temple in the New Testament, we are talking about an individual believer. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19, don't you know that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of the Lord what? Dwell in you. So we are talking about an individual believer, as the temple of God. Number two, we're also talking about the church. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. The Bible said that for Jesus has a house, which is the church. Hebrews chapter 6, 3 verse 6. Let's read it. So the individual believer or the church, the corporate body of Christ, is a temple. But Christ as a son over his own house. His own house is talking about what? The church. The individual believers that has come together to form what? One corporate unit called what? The church. So what Ezekiel saw was not a physical structure per se by interpretation. It was what? Either an individual or what? A corporate body. Let's move on. Now, regarding the issue of temple and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. Now, Ezekiel saw God dwelling in his temple, or a temple, which is the dwelling, the presence of God. Where? On earth here. The question here is, how can God dwell on earth? Now, I want to show you something here. Anytime you see God manifesting on earth, the manifestation of God on earth is a revelation, or it brings to knowledge or to light a character dominant or a character revelation of one personality of the Godhead. Follow me very well. Anytime you hear the concept God appear as far as the earth is concerned, you will find out that it has to do with a revelation of the character of one of the dominant or personalities of what? The Godhead. Follow me. Which is, whenever God appears on earth, the dominant character reveals which Godhead is at work. Do you know that God is one in essence, but in functionality is three? So we have the Godhead, which is manifested in personality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, at a given instant, it is one of them that is what? Working at a given instance. How do we know that at this instant, it is this person working? It is the dominant character of that personality, being it either the Father, nor the Son, or the Spirit, that is what? Going to let us know that, okay, this act is what? The act of what? The Father. This act is the act of what? The Spirit, or the act of what? The Son. So when Ezekiel saw the temple of God, and he had that encounter, which dominant character was playing a role in that encounter with Ezekiel? And how does it connect it to the concept of anointing? Are you following me? This is what I want to establish here. Now, if we want to know the dominant character of the various, or the three of them, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, Paul helped us to know the dominant character of the three of them. Now, you find out that in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14, we find out that when it comes to grace, the character revelation of Jesus, the Son, is what? Grace. He said, for the grace of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to what? Love is what? The character of what? The Father. The dominant character of the Father is what? Love. So when God manifests here, and the manifestation of God is showing a dominant character of love, we know that this is the Father at what? Operation. When it is grace, we know that it is the Son at operation. What about the Spirit? Fellowship. Communion. Then we know that it is what? The Spirit that is what? At what? Hence, when God manifests on earth and we see strong what? Revelation of love, we know that the Father is at work. When we see grace, is the Son. Are you following me? Good. Now, what helped us to see this distinct individual character expression of each of the personality in the Godhead? Follow me. I'm leading you to something. Now, what is going to help us to see the love? How do we know that love is at work? How do we know that grace is at work? How do we know that fellowship is at work? How? A condition must create that for us. Because at some point, we are not that as them. They are spirit. We are spiritual. So certain conditions will give us an indication that no, the love of God is at work. The grace of God is what? At work. Fellowship is what? At work. How do we pick these three things? How do we know that this dominant character is working? Number one, to see this distinction, there are certain conditions that triggers them. Such as one, the love of God is always seen strongly when sin becomes predominant. Sin activates the love of God. Now, if you go to a place and you see sin so strong in that place and God wants to manifest over there, the first thing that you see, the character of God, the personality that will manifest will be the Father. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, watch something. That's why you see that the Father is always about love, because this world, if God has not loved the world, we are doomed. We are doomed. If the Father never loved the world, we are doomed. Watch. But God demonstrates his own not love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. And how did God demonstrate this love? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. To do what? That the world would not perish. So when you see that love in dominance of sin, when sin becomes a condition in a place, what manifests from the Godhead is not grace, is what? It's love. So the Bible says he first what? Love us. In what condition? In the condition of sin. You see, you will not know love until you become a sinner. Now, when you were a sinner, maybe some of us, let me help you. Maybe you were born into a place where you were raised with some kind of moral justification, where you are not allowed to go out to do certain things. So in your mindset, you can't tell whether you have sinned or you have not sinned. To you have not smoked. To you, you have not done this. You have not become addicted. If you have met people who have been in this debt, the chains of sin, Paul, in the description of this condition in Romans chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said that, who shall save me from this wretchedness? For the things that I wish to do, I do them not. But the things I wish not to do is what I do. If you have found yourself over there and God has shown you love, you know that love is precious. So in the whole condition of sin, when the character of sin is so strong, then you see love. So when if you want to know the love of God, really want to see the love of God, that's when you go to crusade, soul winning, you see love demonstrated. That's condition for love. Number two, when it comes to grace, our Lord Jesus Christ is seen as a result of free access to many riches of God, beginning with salvation. Condition that brings out grace is free access. See, there are a lot of things in God that are free. It is grace that guarantees it. And it starts with salvation. Salvation is what? Free. When you begin to see free things are coming into your life, you begin to access free things from God. It's an evidence of what? Grace. Grace. So in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, for we are saved not by works, but what? By grace. Free. So when you begin to enter that economy of free, health free, everything free, everything free, if you get to that place, everything what? Free. Then you see that is grace. Has anybody enjoyed free things over here? Oh, can you give glory unto the name of Jesus? That is how you know that grace is at work. Grace is at work when you see that the things of God comes to you freely. So the condition that will let you know that, okay, God has manifested himself in my life, or he's manifesting himself over here, and it is a revelation of grace, is when things are free. Free. Now, let's look at the fellowship. But fellowship, which is of the Spirit, is only attainable under the condition of him finding a dwelling place, temple. So you see where you have journeyed to come and land, a temple now. You can have grace, free things. You can have love of God manifesting. But when it comes to fellowship, the condition that will let you know that Holy Spirit is here, fellowship is here, is when the place is a temple. So without that condition of temple, fellowship cannot be what? So we see that there are people who are enjoying free things from God, but they have no fellowship with God, because they're not temple. Yes. You can see a gathering of Christians or a church, who are enjoying free things but have no fellowship. In fact, when you talk of fellowship, in the same sense, communion, friendship, you not see anything that resembles them. Because show me your friend and I'll tell you what, your character. You can't see any character of God in them, even though the free things of God are in them. So when it comes to the fellowship of God, in reality, you see that there is what? dwelling place, what? Temple. Are we there? Because the Holy Spirit loves to dwell, and that is his greatest desire. Among the Godhead, the desire of the Holy Spirit is a dwelling what? Place. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says, in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns what? Jealously. This jealousy of God over here, the yearning jealously, is a desire in God for a place to dwell. So, because it is his number one desire, he does it with what? Jealousy. He yearns what? Jealousy. So the Spirit of God is always looking for a point of contact to establish fellowship, temple. And James was calling them to order that your body must be kept because the Spirit of God that dwells in you yearns jealously to dwell. So don't kick him out. That is his utmost what? Desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of what? The living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. This is not talking about the corporate what? Church. And walk among them. I will be their God. And they shall be my what? People. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. You see the character of the Holy Spirit manifesting and speaking. So when he said, do not have fellowship with idols. You can't have fellowship with darkness. It is the jealousy of the Holy Spirit trying to make sure that he is the only source of what? Your temple. So when it comes to fellowship, it is the Holy Spirit. And that has to do with what? Dwelling place, the condition. Are we there? So, are we going back to Ezekiel? So, the temple situation over there that Ezekiel had, what was he then revealing over there? Are you following me now? Okay. So, this is why among the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is the most linked to temple and dwelling. Such as, when God promised to live among the people of Israel, it was the Holy Spirit who descended and filled the tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, when Moses had finished building the whole tabernacle, when God said he's come to dwell among them, what was the essence of the tabernacle? That God would dwell among them. When Moses was done, how did God come to dwell among them? That was, and the Spirit of God descended like what? A cloud and covered the whole place. So anytime you're talking about dwelling, you see that it is the Spirit who comes to what? Manifest. Because he yearns for dwelling. And he finds what? Temple. Number two. When God promised to live among the people of Israel, as I said, number two. When God promised to be with Moses, the manifestation of that was the Spirit that was upon him. So the Bible said, and God said, I'll show you my heart, my glory. And Moses should come. That was, and the cloud of what? Glory. Talking about the presence, which is what? The Spirit covered and took Moses. Number three. When Jesus was promising his ever dwelling with us and promised that he will not leave us as orphan, what was the promise? The Holy Spirit. So anytime we are talking about temples, a place of dwelling, I want you to know that the personality of God manifesting there is the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel's encounter that he encountered concerning the temple that he saw over there was talking about the personality of God called the Holy Spirit, who wants to reveal himself in a dimension. Now follow me. Therefore, the whole Ezekiel chapter 47 encounter is talking about the Holy Spirit expressing his character in a condition what suitable for him called what, temple. And how did he decide to reveal himself? He decided to reveal himself in the nature of water. Follow me. The reason why I said this is because I want you to understand why we had the water and the river in the temple. So the temple, because God, as a father figure, will not revealed his nature as water. It's the Holy Spirit. He gives an idea of how his nature is as what? Water. For the Spirit giveth what? Life. What is the first character of water? Life. Are you with me? Are you following me? God. I like this. So, the Ezekiel encounter there was talking about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I have to go through all this thing to let you know is because why would the temple be gushing out with what? Water. And then end up as a river. It was the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now follow me. The nature of the Holy Spirit that started as water and in its fullness became a what? A river. Now, how do we say that this temple is not a physical structure? It was the same thing that Jesus said in the book of John chapter 7, verse 37. Or something. Now, whenever the Holy Spirit has found a dwelling place, the manifestation of that is that it gushes out as water. The full expression, let's read. On the last day, that the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to God, to me, and then what? And drink. Follow. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow what? Rivers of what? Living water. Now, verse 39. Listen to the explanation he gave. But this he spake concern who? So not about him. So anytime you saw the manifestation of water, river, it was about the Holy Spirit. What it means that when the Spirit of God has a dwelling place, finds a place, the presence of God finds a dwelling on earth, it is the manifestations of the Spirit. In when you see the nature of water or anything of that sort, it's the Spirit. So out of him shall flow. He said, this is his prayer concerning the Holy Spirit. Who those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus has not yet been what?
Be glorified.
So the temple that Ezekiel saw and whatever was going on there was a temple that was not a physical structure. It could be the corporate church God revealed to him. It could be an individual, a believer, and then the Holy Spirit dwelling in that believer, manifesting as what? Living waters, and started gushing out as what? Water, and ended up as a what? A river. Talking about the manifestation of the presence and power of God. Because that's what the Holy Spirit reveals. Hallelujah. Now let's move into the two other key things, water and then river. Now, if you and I agree that revelation that Ezekiel saw over there was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit start? In the verse 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit started manifesting himself as a small stream. Water trickling out from under the threshold of the temple. It is shallow, something you can easily step over or walk through. So when in the verse 3, they measured, it was easy to what? To walk through. Are you with me? It was easy to what? Walk through. Verse 3, it was easy to what? It was talking about the Holy Spirit. I'll explain. Now, when we go to verse 5, as the waters flow further, it grows until it became a what? A river. Deep enough to what? Swim in. Impossible to cross on foot. That is where the theme is coming from. So now you find out that something that started as shallow, easy to walk in, it became a river that is not able to what? To cross. What is it also speaking to us over here? Concerning the anointing. The water represents the beginning of the move of God's Spirit and his power flowing from his house, which is the temple. Now, when the Holy Spirit starts to have fellowship with somebody and the power of God comes to rest and the presence, which is the anointing, its manifestation starts as what? Water, shallow, foretaste of the anointing. Nobody will notice. So they can be with you and take you for granted. Oh, this one. The things you do is so easy, you can easily walk through them. Are you following me? That is how the Holy Spirit starts. That's why I said everybody is what? Anointed. You may think that when you talk about anointing, it is the spectacular. No, 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 no. I said that anybody who God is with is what? Is anointed. However, the manifestation of the anointing begins as water. Like a stream. You can step into it. You can walk in it. It will start as the teaching anointing that teaches you how to what? Hear the voice of God. And you think that's not anointing. It's an anointing. Because that is how the spirit starts. That's why we started from what? Potential anointing. That's why we started talking about the four tastes of what? The anointing. Because these things will be... See, when you receive the Holy Ghost back to you and speaking in other tongues, some of you didn't know it's an anointing at work. It's anointing. Word of knowledge. You saw something. It's the anointing. Now follow. As the water flows further, it grows until it becomes a river deep enough to what? To swim. Impossible to cross by what? By foot. So this anointing that started as how to have your quiet time, how to hear God, now we get to a point where it's not those walking things. You can't walk in it anymore. It becomes a river. Now this concept of river is the last level of the anointing. So you see that when it's still at your ankle, you call it water. When it was at your knee, you call it what? Water. You didn't see it as a river. But when it got your waist, you notice that it has the potential of becoming a river. You didn't call it a river. But now beyond your waist, you have noticed that this is what? A river. This place is where the special anointing, which is also called a river you cannot what? Cross. The final peak of the expressions of God's presence and what? And power. Hallelujah. Therefore, as the water grows into river, through increase, expansion, and maturity, it moves from just being tasting God's presence and power. You see? So the testing of God's presence we are talking about here is, oh, you came to church, they pray, you fall under the anointing. Have you ever tasted the power of God before? You pray for headache, it's gone. Those one is at the water level. The moment it gets to the river, which is the last level of the anointing, now we are talking about you going beyond what it looks like you tasting the power of God and the presence of God. But now you are being fully immersed in it, carried by it, no longer in control. You are carried by this anointing. You are immersed in it that you don't have control. What it means over here is that you cannot even have the knowledge of how far the power and the presence of God working in you. You don't have knowledge of how far it's influencing people's life. You cannot quantify it. Have you followed me now? So you can underestimate the anointing because it's a water. But that very water that you are underestimating, how can, you see, when it is flowing from your belly, it is water. But what did he become? He became a river. Out of thy belly shall flow. He didn't say in the belly is river. He said the belly, it will flow. Streams of what? Living what? Rivers. So in the belly, in you, when you became born again, in you, that anointing, the potentials of God, is lying there as a small thing. And you think that, oh, but do you know that it's just a drop of water makes a mighty ocean? A drop. So, the special anointing that you people or many of us look up to, we are all praying for, it starts as water. And the reason why I'm taking my time to take you through this journey is because I want you to appreciate the level you are, even though we are all in the water. Know that one day it will come to a point that it will become a river. And I'm going to show you the character of the river. I'm going to show you something. Follow me. This is how this concept of the special anointing, this is how the likes of people like Apostle Peter started by holding a hand of a cripple to walk to the point where the shadow of Peter was healing sick, casting out demons without him knowing. In the book of Acts chapter 5 verse 15 to 16, let me show you something. If you understand the concept of anointing, The first expression of Peter's anointing was to hold somebody to walk. But when that anointing began to grow and it became a river, it got to a point that the only what is needed, not that he will speak, all that is needed, that the shadow of Peter. Acts chapter 5 verse 15. Let's read to 16. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Ah, Jesus. Oh, at verse 16. And let's see what happened. Also, as multitude gathered from the surroundings, cities to Jerusalem. Can you just imagine? He has no control. It's a river. See, when the river is gushing out, you can't control it. Ah, Jesus, you will get there. We will get there. Bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And what happened? And they were all healed. But is it not the same Peter who was passing by the same temple until the man asked him? He got to a point now, at the level of the river, his shadow. Are you a temple? If you're a temple, then I'm telling you that you are heading towards that direction. Because the temple Ezekiel saw started with water gushing out. But the time he realized, that temple became a river. Out of that temple, that gushed out water started becoming what? A temple that was producing what? Rivers. And when that river started working, he said, I couldn't swim in it. It started sweeping everything on its way. That is why only the shadow was enough. A time is coming. Your name is enough. You don't know, that is the kind of power you should yearn for. And that's why the special anointing is a very important thing that we all yearn for. Was it only Peter? No. There was a man called Paul. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. You see, they took Paul's clothes and handkerchief. Not that Paul said they should take it too. But the anointing on Paul's life got to the point of the river that all they needed was his handkerchief. Watch. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Continue. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Special anointing. But Paul didn't start from that place. He started as water, but he was the temple. Whilst the spirit dwelled in that temple, and the temple began to expand, the water that was coming from the temple started dropping, becoming a stream at the ankle level. It started at the knee level. It started at the waist level. Now, when he got to a river that could not cross, all they needed was just his clothes. They took it to anybody who was sick. And at that instant, the person was healed. I pray for you. See, that Jesus. You see, I said there are dimensions. So you are doing a business and you are making 200 cedis profit. Eh? Somebody will sleep. Eh? I read the news recently of the new contract that is offered onto Ronaldo. And the person converted into Ghana City and said for every second he makes 100 Ghana cedis. Every second. So just count the number of minutes you have been in church. By the time you close, just look at the amount of money. That is the kind of financial river of anointing I'm praying for you. See? We must begin to yearn for certain dimensions. Ah, Jesus. Now, this level is the place of the special anointing. A river you cannot cross. Which also I call the double portion of the Spirit. The double portion of the Spirit, or the specific anointing. A unique anointing in its nature, such that when it manifests, it is seen as your spirit. Follow me. When we reach the last level of the anointing, It is the place where we call the special anointing, or the unique anointing, or the double portion of the specific anointing you have received. Now, when it begins to manifest, people see it as your spirit. I'm going to prove it to you. Follow me. Why? Why do people see it as your spirit? The power of God can move so strong in the life of a person to a point where that dimension of operation becomes a trademark of that person. Do you know a trademark? A licensed, legally acquired system. See, the power of God can be flowing in you in terms of teaching. That when we mention teaching, it is you. How many of you heard of Kenneth Hagin? When we talk about an evangelist in Ghana, who comes into your mind first? All of you have one name in your mind there. All of you have one name, Bishop Dag. It's a trademark. The Spirit of God has been so dominant, the power of God has been so dominant in his life in that operation that now he's evangelist. When you talk of evangelism, he's the model. When you see him, you see evangelism. When you see him, you see somebody who has the ability to operate in that dimension. Unique. You see, this thing about the anointing coming to the point where it becomes so unique in your life that they call it your spirit. Let's look at an example here. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 15. 2 14 to 15. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. Watch something. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of what Elijah?" And when he has also struck the water, it was divided this way that, and Elisha crossed over. Wait. The person who did this was what? Elijah. The anointing upon Elijah is that even nature could answer to him. That he took his cloak and struck Jordan and it opened. Are you following me? There were people there watching, the sons of the prophet, and they saw Elijah doing that and he walked through the water with Elisha. Now verse 15, see what happened. When the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, what? Together. Did he hate? So Elijah operated in the dimension of God's power to the point that now they call it the spirit of what? So it is only the spirit of Elijah at that time that could divide water. When it rests upon you, you divide water. That is the unique anointing, special anointing. Special anointing. And now when we start looking at the experiences that come along with it, you understand. You are going to understand why the sons of Sceva were beaten. And the demon said that for Christ or Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. The reason why they were beaten, he said, if it is Paul, we know him. The Jesus you mentioned, we know him. But it was talking about a rank. That dimension of operation was not common. Number two, you find out that when God wanted to call 70 people into leadership, in the book of Numbers chapter 11, we can't read it long. Numbers chapter 11 verse 11 to 25. Moses went to complain to God that the work was too much for him. And God said, okay, appoint 70 people. Do you know what God did? The Bible said he took the spirit upon Moses and put it on the other 70. So in that dispensation, if God wants to raise anybody as a leader, the only source of that unique anointing was on David, was on Moses. Special anointing. So somebody can operate in the dimension of God to the point that it now becomes his spirit. That was, and the spirit of Moses. Verse 25. The spirit of what? Moses. Verse 25. See, you see the complaint he was giving. Then Lord, the cloud, and spoke to him and took off the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened that when the Spirit rested upon them, that they ought prophesied, although they never did so again. The Spirit of Moses. Special anointing. So there is a dimension. What I'm saying that there's a point where you can walk in the power of God, and it comes to a point where it's now called your spirit. It's possible. And I'm going to show you how. Do you know that God wants all of us to get to that dimension? I'm going to show you why. Let me give you a third example. The pastoral grace upon Timothy, do you know it was transferred from Paul? 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Said to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace and mercy be from Lord Jesus Christ. And is that 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2? Give me 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Said, do not neglect the giftings that was given to you by what? The laying on of what? Of hands. The pastoral grace upon Paul was upon Timothy, that when Timothy was a young man in Ephesus pastoring the church, they saw it as Paul speaking to them. There is a dimension that God can take us, that we will operate in that grace, that now it becomes you. It becomes you. And that is the highest level of the anointing that God wants us to get you. So you can be operating a healing anointing to the point that now, when we talk of healing, when you heard of Benny Hinn, what do you think? When we mention the name Benny Hinn, what comes into mind? You know Daddy Joe for many things. But when I mention Daddy Joe's name, you know him for one thing. Yes, said it. Teaching. There's an expression of God's grace on his life that you know that when it comes to this, he's him. See, this is where you see that our Father has entered the special anointing. It's not common. Started as water, ended as a river. The reason why it is so that they said the spirit of Elijah, they could say the spirit of Moses. This is because the full revelation of the anointing of God in the life of a believer or in the life of a person is the same as the full manifestation of your spirit. Because your spirit, which is stands for your status in Christ, is where dominion is captured. When God created man, in the spirit of man is dominion. Total control is in the spirit. Now, as much as your spirit is coming out to take charge, it correlates with the not the manifestation of the anointing. So, if we want to know how matured you are spiritually, sometimes the expressions of the anointing in your life can tell. Because when God created Adam and Eve, it was in the spirit dimension. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and have what? Dominion. Therefore, it is expected of every believer to come to the full stature of Christ, which is the full manifestation of the new regenerated spirit. That is the last reading we did. And that is where I want to stand to wrap up today. Every believer, every born-again Christian, God is expecting you that you'll come to the full stature of Christ, which is the status of the Spirit in you. That place is the operation of the special anointing. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to what? The unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of what? Of Christ. That is the expectation of every believer. The measure of that stature to the fullness of Christ is talking about full of everything, including full anointing. Now, when you are full in that dimension, now whatever is coming is a product, is seen as your spirit. It's seen as your spirit. So, this reality is achieved when we grow. See, the fullness of the anointing, this thing that we're talking about, the spirit of this, so we can say the spirit of bliss, the spirit of this person, it is achieved, listen to me, it's achieved when we grow in the presence of God and in the power of God, which comes from our outward man perishing and our inward man what? Renewing. Now this is what happens. The fullness of Christ in somebody is achieved when the outward man, I'm talking of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, it begins to go down. And then the spirit is coming up. The moment that is happening to you, you see that you are heading towards the full manifestation of what? Of Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 16. This is what happens. The more that your spirit man is growing and then your flesh is decreasing, the more you become conscious of your spiritual environment than your physical environment. The reason why you have a taste for the things of God, or the level to which you are able to embrace the things of God, spiritual things, is a revelation of the level to which your spirit has come up and your flesh has what? Gone down. You see, you struggle to go to nightclub, but somebody is also struggling to come to church. Do you hear it now? Yes. You see, you had no problem. If it is your last one, you come to church. What? Because there is no way, there is no anything that can satisfy you. See, sometimes when you sing this song, Jesus is the center of it all. Eh? Sometimes you have to ask yourself, are you sure? Because when he's the center of it, it means that all that you have is him. There's no, nothing else cannot satisfy you. It's a growth in the presence and power of God. When you grow in the presence and power of God, your outward man will perish. It means that the flesh will continue to go down, but the spirit man will what? Come up. Therefore, we do not lose that. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm teaching you how the special anointing comes up. Why, how it ends up to become the spirit of this person. I'll wrap up soon. So when the outward man is perishing and then the inward man is coming up, at a point, our spiritual environment will superimpose itself over our physical environment, flowing like a river which nothing can stand in its way. This is where the special anointing take off. So when the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters, what it means is that your spiritual environment has been so strong that it superimposed itself over what? The physical environment. That is the place that when you get to, your roommate, he may not be, or she, or he may not be born again. But because of the overflow of what? Your spiritual environment, the person will begin to align to the things of God. Have you ever gotten to the point where you didn't preach to somebody but he followed you to church? Or has somebody met you and just sitting with a person, you realize that no, this is not an, it's not a natural atmosphere? Have you ever seen that before? It can be demonic, it can be godly. There are places that I've gone to. I never said I was a pastor. I didn't talk. Somebody walked to you and said, are you a pastor? I said, why? Do you know why? It is a sign that you are heading into the overflow. Because when you're about to enter the overflow, one of the things that shows is that your spiritual environment will superimpose itself on the physical environment. And that one, you cannot determine what happens over there. Oh. That is where the shadow of Peter was healing the sick, because his spiritual environment is too strong for the physical. This is where people like Archbishop Benson Idahosa will stay in a city. He doesn't need to pray, but because he's there, witches and all kinds of demonic activities are on holiday. You dare not. It's because the outward man has gone down, the inward man has what? Come up, and now it has come and what? Overflow. There's a place in God that we don't struggle again. And that's what I pray for you. So, this flow of river is connected to your bishopric or mandate or assignment, which began as the specific or at the specific level of the anointing. But this time, which is the river level, your bishopric is operating in a double portion of the specific anointing that you caught. Now, this is where I want to wrap up with you. When you caught the anointing at the specific level, it came to you as a seed. It opened up your bishopric. You started walking in it. You started using the anointing. What happens is that it is going to develop into the uniqueness of your calling and mandate. Now, it will double itself. As a result, it's a seed you caught. That is why you find out that if you catch anointing from somebody, you are likely to do more than the person. Even Jesus said it. That they that believe in me, this thing that I do, they will do what? The same. And even what? Greater. The reason is that when you catch an anointing, the anointing becomes a potential that has to grow into your unique mandate. And as it grows, anything that grows doubles. So Elisha was so wise that when Elijah asked him, ask me what you want, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he told him that I want the double portion of your spirit. He was saying that not let me, whatever I caught, remain there. You can catch an anointing on somebody and that is all that you have. Because you didn't allow it to work. You didn't allow it to grow. But when you grow in that anointing, oh, can I give you an example? Do you know, I'm talking about even living people. I'm not even going to the Bible. I'll come. You saw the things, the souls that, you know, in the book of Acts. You saw the souls. You saw the souls that Peter won on one day. How many souls did Jesus win? Did you notice the work of Peter? You saw the dimensions and the healings and ministries of Peter. His shadow was raising dead. Jesus has to go and pray. Why? Because when you catch an anointing, that's why the Bible said the latter glory shall be greater than the earlier. Because when you catch an anointing, it is expected that that anointing will double. That is why it is a special, unique anointing. It's special, unique. So it means that whatever operation that I am operating, if you catch it. So let me give you an example. How many of you have heard of Catherine Coleman? Do you know that the person who caught that anointing was Benihin? Look at the impact of Benihin and look at the impact of Catherine Coleman. Another example, Bishop Dark. Do you know he caught his anointing from Kenneth Hagin? Look at the impact of Bishop Dark. Look at what Kenneth Hagin did. What do I mean? When you catch an anointing, the expression of that anointing is that it has the potential to double. Because the glory of the former will always be greater than what. That is why it is a double portion. That is why we call it a double portion. Because it comes and has the potential to what? Double itself. So look at the miracles of Elisha. They were twice the miracles of Elijah. He did so much. So until we see the double of what is upon, whatever, if I see that you caught this anointing from here, until we see the double of it in your life, it has not become your special anointing yet. You are still operating under somebody's word. So those of you who have caught anointings, there is much demanded from you. Because they that believe in me, this thing I do, they shall do same and what? And greater. So the special anointing effect, why I said it is a double. So now you should have explained why it is unique. Why it is the spirit of the person who has reached there. And why it is a reason of what? Double anointing. It's because when you get there, because you caught it, it has the ability to what? Multiply. As I end here today, I want to pray a prayer for you. That let our tomorrow not be less of than what has happened today. I don't care whatever dimension of anointing upon the life of your father or wherever you have gotten to, but my prayer for you is that let not your end be lesser than that of those we came to meet. See, it is a prayer I always pray. See, the satisfaction of every father is to see that the son is better than him. Because whenever you catch an anointing, it doubles. I pray for you today that whatever dimension of God's grace that you have caught, being it the music ministry, being it financial, being it business, being it apostle, whatever dimension of God's office that you have caught, oh Jesus, may it never end up being the same in the name of Jesus. I said, I see double coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever your mom and dad couldn't reach because of the double portion of the anointing. Because of the double portion of the anointing, you will cross it in the name of Jesus. Whatever that your family couldn't achieve, the essence of the special anointing is that it has to double. I pray for you. Our end shall not be like the latter. Our end shall be like the latter. It shall not be like the earlier. We are the latter rain, not the first rain. We are the latter rain. You think you have seen souls won, and watch out. You think you have seen miracles, watch out. There are going to be mind-blowing miracles that will be happening. You see, the aprons of people were healing, but right now it won't be aprons. I said there are dimensions of operations that is going to happen. Dimensions. Things that are unusual, things that people cannot imagine, because it's the season of the special anointing. And that anointing is that we are going to operate in the doubles of our fathers. And that is the essence of the anointing. The anointing grows. The river cannot be a river we can cross. Nobody can consume God. We can never come to the end of God. So we cannot be operating as how our fathers are operating. That's why we have to labor. That's why we have to labor. That's why we have to pay the price. I pray for you. That when you catch that anointing, may that anointing begin to work itself in you. That power. You see, some of you, there's an anointing that you have caught as a result of relationship. And God is working on it. In some few time to come, we'll begin to see how it will become a river, sweeping everything. We have heard of big businessmen who are Christians. I said they have not heard of you yet. I said they have not heard of you yet. I want you to stand on your feet as we pray. Our prayer is simple. The Bible said that doubt till we all come to the same stature of the fullness of Christ. We want to pray that any impediment that will stand in our way for us not to walk in the doubles of the anointing upon our life, may God help us. May God help us. See, we cannot end up just as our fathers. Your father ended up building just one mansion. Then you also want to end up building one house. Why can't you have an estate and it to be named after your father to show that the anointing has doubled? All that your father could influence was a small village. What shows that you cannot become an MP or a president? Why can't the anointing double? Oh Lord, any impediment. The fullness of Christ in your father was that he could build one mansion. But when that comes to you, it becomes a seed. It has to double. Lift up your voice and pray. Father, let me come to that full stature. I will not die I cannot. The Bible said that when Solomon became king, everything in his generation was double. Solomon was so blessed. See, the anointing is different from rank. The anointing is ability to do. So we are not saying that we'll outrank them, no. But we are saying that the ability will double in our time. Because God does not work backwards. He works forward. It means that God keep increasing in us. We must pray for special anointing. See, many of us have come to be satisfied at just at the foretaste and then the specific anointing. Because we see the predominant move of God in a particular dimension. Because we can pray for headache. We can do this. We can do a few things. We think we have gotten there. No. It is a point that we don't need to talk. Our presence is enough. The Bible says God worked on miracles, on unquestionable miracles, unusual miracles through Paul. Such that aprons. Somebody needed to hold the cloth of Jesus while he was wearing it. But this one, at this time, it was taken off. The power of the anointing doubling. I pray for you. I don't know what you have seen. See, I said that anointing, as your father and your mother was born in your spiritual fatherhood, whatever anointing you have seen over there, as long as you are there, you have caught that anointing. You cannot remain in that anointing. Whatever is upon our father, Daddy Joe, we must pray to be double in it. We must do double. The impact of our father is calling us to the double. Whatever God did with the Archbishop Duncan and all other ministers, we must do double. Oh, come on. Because the latter glory. 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 See, there's a grace coming on some of you. See, to some point, all that God could give the church in terms of financial kingdom financiers, where people can only earn few thousands of dollars. But I see millions coming. I see millions coming. Because that's the double of the anointing coming on you. Oh, you will do well. You will do better. We will do better. We will do better. And we will make God proud. We will make the investments of our fathers in our life. We will make them proud. Special anointing. Lift up your voice and pray. When God established us finally in our offices. Oh, Mandevala Basaya. Gola Brana Makosaya. Lebenda la Makondi Lavasaya. Lebranda Baba Baboshaya. Till we come to the full stature. The stature, the fullness of Christ. The complete stature of Christ in us. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.